ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट नंबर 3 ऑफ चैप्टर 3 ऑफ कैंटो 8 ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम। यस्मिन् इदं यतश्चेदं येनेदं याइदं स्वयं योस्मात् परस्माच्च परस् तं प्रपद्ये स्वयं भुवम्। यस् ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। ट्रांसलेशन: द सुप्रीम गॉडहेड इज द सुप्रीम प्लेटफॉर्म ऑन विच एवरीथिंग रेस्ट्स, द इंग्रेडिएंट बाय विच एवरीथिंग हैज बीन प्रोड्यूस्ड, एंड द पर्सन हु हैज क्रिएटेड एंड इज द ओनली कॉज ऑफ दिस कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन। नंदलेस ही इज डिफरेंट फ्रॉम द कॉज एंड द रिजल्ट। आई सरेंडर अन टू हिम the supreme personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. Purport: in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, the Lord says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. I am the supreme personality of Godhead, but everything rests upon my energy. Just as earthen pot rests on the earth, the place where an earthen pot rests is also earth. Then again, the earthen pot is manufactured by a potter whose body is a product of earth. The potter's will with which the pot is made is an expansion of earth, and the ingredients from which the pot are made are also earth. As confirmed in the Shruti mantra, Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhisham vishanti. The original cause of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and after being annihilated, everything enters into Him. Prakritim yanti mamikam. Thus, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra or Lord Krishna, is the original cause of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for He is the prime cause of all causes. The Lord is the cause for everything, but there is no cause for Him. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma Matsthani Sarva Bhutani Na Chaham Teshu Avasthitaha. Although He is everything, His personality is different from the cosmic manifestation. So, by the permission, blessings of the senior devotees assembled here, Mahadyuti Prabhu and other devotees, I would like to attempt to speak something. So, Gajendra, the king of elephants, has begun to offer prayers unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just last week was a friendship day, and on friendship day, nowadays it's a culture to exchange bands of various colors depending on how close that person is. There is also a black band to tell that you are not my friend. And there is a pink band and red band and blue band and white band, all signify different levels of friendship. Just as we have Sakha, Priya Narma Sakha and all those categories. So, one devotee's child, a very small boy of around 4 years of age, four or five years, he has just begun going to school, junior KG or something, And in the school, there was an official, the school officially observed that Friendship Day. So they were encouraging how, so that the children mix with each other, you exchange bands. So this devotee's child, when he got the band, he took two extra bands from the teacher. And after the whole function was over. And he said, I want to give it to someone in my house. So they thought that, okay, means he wants to give friendship band to his parents. Nowadays, actually, that is required also within the house, you know. Of course, he was a child. So when he came in the house, he immediately went to the altar and offered the band to Narsingdev. And then the next band he offered to the hands of Jagannath. You know, Jagannath has hands like this. So he put one of the band there. And after some time, when his parents were taking darshan, they were also amazed and shocked that, oh, this child has offered a friendship band to their lordships. Very unusual. He was not taught anything like that. Basically, they have just started coming to the programs. Out of his natural affection, he offered that friendship band to their lordships. That emotion was so sweet that even when I came to know, it just nourished my day with Krishna consciousness. I was also so filled with devotion with his gesture. So in Gajendra's prayers, when we see, now he has started offering prayers, and then eventually we'll see how Vishnu is attracted to bestow mercy upon him. If we try to think, what is there in Gajendra's prayers that attracted Vishnu? Or in the whole scenario? Was it that a beautiful arrangement of poetry and words and grammatically corrected chanda and all those things that attracted Vishnu? Or the self-glorification of Vishnu, somebody glorifying him? And nowadays people are deriding him. Even those days people used to deride him. But somebody is there who is glorifying me, establishing my supremacy. Is it the prayers itself which attracted the Lord? Or a beautiful sight of elephants, and or an elephant singing? That is also an attractive sight. Oh, elephant is singing prayers. None of this. It was actually the feeling behind, within the prayer, which attracted Lord Vishnu. All the prayers of Gajendra are in the mood of awe and reverence. He begins glorifying the personality of Godhead, his features of how he controls the world. He is the supreme controller. In fact, even this particular prayer also. How he is the original cause of everything and he is the only cause of everything. Trying to establish this complete control of the supremacy of the Lord. How Lord himself is everything. All his prayers till the end of the chapter are in the mood of awe and reverence. He also glorifies the Brahman aspect, the Paramatma aspect. And almost in every prayer, one thing is very common where he says that Krishna is the supreme controller. The Lord is the supreme controller. Why is that? Because Gajendra himself is a king. And the nature of a king is to have control. And what kind of control? It is explained that Gajendra was so powerful that his movements would tremble the Trikuta mountain. Just by the smell of his body, the fragrance of his body, the great lions, tigers, or other great, even the other rival elephants, they would just fled from the scene. By mere fragrance, not even to see, oh, Gajendra is coming. What to talk of smaller? Smaller animals would not even come out of their holes. Just out of respect that, oh, he is going to travel this way. So not to just come in the way. That was his power and control. And after such great power and control, when he was frustrated in the same forest where he used to reign, there was a realization in his heart that he being the supreme controller is also frustrated. Actually, that is the nature of this world. This pastime also shows that no matter how much powerful a person is, in this material world, it's actually not possible to be controller at all times, maybe for some fraction of time. And out of realization of that, he started praying unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not that somebody who knows Gajendra Moksha will be delivered like that. Or else seeing the Gajendra pastime, oh, okay, once you know Gajendra Moksha, I will also have my set of she elephants and let us go in a party. In case something happens, better all of you know Gajendra Moksha will be delivered. It is not like that, that mere prayers on their own, they can help a personality. Of course, some benefits may be availed. But in Gajendra's case, he was praying with realization and feeling and with a genuine state of heart. Every prayer actually has an expectation. In this material world, whether it is for, even for devotees, the prayer is with an expectation of something in return. Krishna, as a supreme omnipotent person, has the ability to fulfill all expectations. Of that there is no doubt. But in the material world, to fulfill the material prayers of persons also is not completely possible for Krishna. Why? Because it defeats or it contradicts the basic policy of his creation of this material world, which is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Now, he has created this world and he has set a policy that this is supposed to be Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. And a person within the material world is wanting to contradict. That is not possible. And that is why all the prayers, all the philosophies of our great acharyas, where the prayers are not that, oh Krishna, you do something for me so that I am blissful and peaceful here and completely satisfied. They are that, please deliver me, please get me out of this place. Prabhupada used to give you an example. In this material world, sometimes it is how much Krishna can do. It is not possible to satisfy every person also. He gives the example that during the World War II, the British soldiers' wives were praying that, oh Lord, please protect our husbands. And the German soldiers' wives were also praying, please protect our husbands. Prabhupada said, in a war, how is it possible to satisfy everyone? It's not possible. So, if, of course, Krishna has the ability and the power to satisfy everyone's even material desires. But even for that, in this material world, it's not going to be possible at every point of time. Here, when Gajendra is praying, he is not praying to get out of that immediate material difficulty. But because of the whole experience of his glory being frustrated, he immediately comes to conclusion because of his practice of past life. As a devotee, he comes to the conclusion that, oh, actually, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and shelter unto him is the only way I can actually get out of this world. So Gajendra is not actually praying to Krishna, to the offering prayers that he be just removed from this material difficulty and he can continue his way of sense gratification. But he is actually wanting to be delivered now. That is his state of realization. Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining in one class that let our prayers not be so that we can use Krishna for our service. But let us pray that we become purified, that Krishna can use us for his service. So here Gajendra has now come to that level that he's not just knowing the prayers theoretically, but he's also feeling the prayers. And that is the most important part in any prayer. That a feeling behind the prayer. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that a devotee's prayers have nothing to do with the rules of grammar. And Krishna is only interested in the love within the prayers and not whether it is grammatically correct or not. So therefore, as I was explaining this in the beginning, this small child, although he did not know the prayers of Narsingdev or Lord Jagannath, how he wanted to glorify, but his simple gesture that he felt that, oh, amongst all the friends, he carried that emotion in the heart without anybody telling. that, oh, they are also my best friend. Because he had heard sometimes with parents telling that they are your actual parents. They are the best of your friends. So he thought that this is a friendship day, let me offer. So that offering, although it was not composed with grammar and literary words, it was more sweeter than even a nursing aarti many times we sing, but it does not inspire us also. Not what to talk of others. But this simple gesture inspired so much. That is, therefore, it is said that prayer is not a language of words, but it is a language. It is the language of hearts, a heart. Prayer without a feeling is like the smile of a mannequin. When you go to a mall, or sometimes you are walking across the road, and there are so many model men and women beautifully dressed, this structures, POP or whatever, fiber structures with beautiful dresses, but smiling at you on the road. When you are walking on the road, do you reciprocate with them? Oh, he's smiling at me. Do you keep smiling at those mannequins? We don't do that. That smile has no value to us, absolutely zero value. Why? Because it is without a feeling. We know it's just for the sake of it. Whatever you do, it will smile, whether you reciprocate or not. So prayer without a feeling is like that. It's of no value. And Krishna actually does not respond to such prayers. So therefore, many times when the prayers are done, we feel that why Krishna is not responding. In fact, from Krishna's point of view, just as a father, he reciprocates with a prayer in different ways. Sometimes by fulfilling the prayer, fulfilling the request, the father reciprocates. And sometimes the father reciprocates by not fulfilling the prayer. But in material perception, we just see that, okay, if it is fulfilled, then it is means he's there. So many times when the prayers are tested beyond our capacities, or maybe we see that we have long-term illness or long-term frustrations, the whole question of his personality comes into existence, whether Lord exists or not. Now, that is not in the case of Gajendra. He is in utmost difficulty and he is not thinking that how come I am so powerful, I could ever be frustrated and this and that. And imagine 1,000 years of struggle, what amount of determination, practice of Bhagavad Gita, keep on pursuing, fight. How much? 1,000 years of struggle, still nothing happened. Still he is not losing faith and ready, and he is offering prayers. So actually, it was actually the feeling of Gajendra by which he got delivered. Also, there is one more angle to the Gajendra's pastimes. Gajendra and the crocodile both were actually kings in their past lives. And both the kings had offended sages. The crocodile was King Huhu, who was actually enjoying in the celestial waters, and under the water he pulled the leg of Deval Rishi, who was meditating. And Deval Rishi felt offended and he said that your behavior is like a crocodile, so you become a crocodile. And Huhu was cursed. So this was gross misconduct, gross offense. And Indradyumna was a great pious sage, and he was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was actually enjoying the meditation and the trance. And in that, Agastya Muni, he actually came, and because of performing meditation and being absorbed for so many years, King Indradyumna was actually seated and he could not reciprocate, because he was in the meditation. And because of lack of reciprocation, Agastya Muni felt offended. And he cursed him, because you are not sensitive to me coming and you are just sitting with your base like that. So may you become dumb like an elephant. So Indradyumna was convicted of a subtle improper behavior and who was convicted of gross improper misconduct. Both of them had offended sages, and therefore they were cursed to become an elephant and a crocodile. So we see that how much an offense can cause trouble. In fact, tomorrow is Radhashtami, and I was just reading something in context to these pastimes, and I came up with a very good definition I had never heard before, where it is explained that aparad, what is the meaning of aparad? Aparad means radhat arthat aradhanat apagatah, that to be distanced from worship, that is the meaning of aparad, where you are distanced from worship. But in the deeper sense, it means to be distanced from service of Srimati Radharani. That is the impact of an offense. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in the mood of Radha Bhava, he also exhibits how to actually become a servitor of Radharani, to be serving Krishna. Just as King Huhu and Indradumna both had offended great sages, one in a subtle fashion and one in a gross fashion, in Kali Yuga, people are offending the Supreme Personality of Godhead and devotees in a very intellectual fashion by this impersonal kind of philosophies. Therefore, how to deal with this kind of offensive behavior in this modern context? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was born with this, who appeared with this Radha Bhav, he taught this in the Madhya Lila, in the 9th chapter, the first verse itself. It explains when Lord Chaitanya began his tour to South India, what was his mood. Nana Mata Graha Grastan Dakshinatya Jana Dvipan, that the people of South India were very powerful in wisdom and intellect, like great elephants. But they were actually disturbed by this Nana Mata Graha Grastan, this crocodile-like philosophies, impersonal philosophies of Buddhism, Jainism, Mayavad and all that. And so Lord Chaitanya, just like Vishnu, by his disc, he saved Gajendra from the crocodile. Lord Chaitanya, he saved these great elephants caught in this wrong crocodile-like philosophies. By which weapon? By Kripa Arina. Arina means a disc. By the disc of his mercy, Gaurash Chakresha Vaishnavan, he converted everyone into Vaishnavism. So Lord, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he explains how Lord Chaitanya was like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Kali Yuga, he came to deliver everyone with this particular mood, saving the Gajendras, the great Brahmanas and intellectuals who are now diverting into impersonalism by not properly understanding the philosophies. And that was actually the mood of even Srila Prabhupada, who was very much convinced, and he was very fierce and very strong to propagate the philosophy, the understanding behind the Krishna conscious movement. In India, there are these two deviations which are there. Either understand Krishna consciousness in a very sentimental way, or else there is no proper understanding of Krishna consciousness at all. It is mixed with impersonalism and all. So both of them were, so either there is a sentimental worship of Srimati Radharani, or there is completely deriding the whole concept. So Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, both of them, they established this particular, both of these things. Clearly worshipping the personality of Godhead and also the mood behind it. Actually the whole movement, the mood of Krishna consciousness movement is, as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would define, is actually Radha Dasyam, to be in the mood of service to Srimati Radharani, who is the greatest servitor of Krishna. And that is possible only when there is a proper understanding in the whole philosophy. So I would like to end here. If anyone has any questions, you may ask. Or comments, Mahajyoti Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthar Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.